Hey, hi everybody. Good evening. Thank you very much for coming to learn together again. And we're going to continue our series of Rav Moshe Feinstein and his halachic adversaries. And this week, we have the great privilege of learning about Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and one particular machlokas that they had directly with each other. So first, a little bit about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It is fascinating that you get the feeling that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was to the Israeli Jewish community what Rav Moshe Feinstein was to the American Jewish community. He was almost Rav Moshe's parallel in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, in an article printed in the 1995 issue of in the fall 1995 issue of the Jewish Action, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecharo Livracha, wrote about Rav Shlomo Zalman, who had just passed away, and he wrote, Rav Shlomo Zalman was, in effect, the Israeli Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Meaning he actually drew this parallel. And he writes, that equation does some injustice to each, as it ignores particular qualities which energize and enrich their lives and beings, and yet it relates surprisingly to major elements regarding roles, status, personality, and perspective, which were critical to their position as Gedolim of our generation. Both were formerly Rashi Yeshiva for decades, and yet were preeminent as untitled poskim. Both fused humility and authority, and both sought by precept and example, by what they did and refrained from doing, to promote harmony and diminish confrontation. In the specific area of psak, each dealt with the cutting edge of modern issues, particularly as regards medicine and technology, and each approached shelos and animated by sensitivity to human concerns, as well as fidelity to halacha. And finally, while both were deeply rooted in the Haredi world throughout, they maintained genuine rapport with the full range of the Torah community. So that's very well said by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, some of the unique qualities that Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman had. Someone who was close to Rav Moshe Feinstein told me he once met Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he had a conversation with him, and he said at the end of the conversation, I have to tell you that I've never met someone who reminds me of Rav Moshe as much as you do. And Rav Shlomo Zalman had a smile from ear to ear. He was very excited by that compliment. He was obviously, his knowledge was encyclopedic. He was it was all mechudat b'fiv. He was very level-headed. He was innovative in psak sometimes. Rav Lichtenstein said even daring in his psak sometimes. But he was always a person of great composure. He had a great simchas achayim. He had a trademark smile that he would walk around with all the time. He was extremely accessible. People could walk up to him and just talk to him. He would walk through the streets of Shari Chesed and wish everyone a good morning, wish everyone a good Shabbos. He was a tamim in the greatest sense of the word, Rav Lichtenstein writes. And every question, even if from a certain perspective it may have been trivial, he treated seriously. And not only did he treat the question seriously, he treated the questioners seriously and with great respect. He was not interested in politics, not just not interested, he stayed away from stuff like that. He judged people not by the clothing they wore, not by their labels, but simply by their merits, by who they were. Rav Shlomo Zalman was a unique gaon, unique tzaddik, and someone who is a parallel of sorts to Rav Moshe Feinstein. The stories of Rav Shlomo Zalman Tzidkus are, you know, there are just so many. Rabbi Chanuch Teller wrote a wonderful biography about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and in fact, I texted Rabbi Teller in advance of this year, and I asked him if he can give me something about the relationship between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe, and he sent me a page number in his book about Rav Shlomo Zalman, told me to look at that. Unfortunately, I'm in camp right now, so I don't have access to his book, but my guess is he probably is referring to the page where it spoke about how Rav Shlomo Zalman would stand up and put on his hat when Rav Moshe Feinstein would call, that he had such cover for Rav Moshe, that even though it was just on the phone, that he had such respect for him that he would stand up the entire time that he was on the phone with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Shlomo Zalman was just known as an extremely, extremely gentle and kind person. One of the stories that they tell was that there was a local grocery store in Shari Tzedek that was run by an almana, and every it took a lot of kochos for this almana to run the store, and these delivery vans would pull up very early early in the morning, and the truckers would deposit crates of milk and dairy products on the sidewalk, and then the almana would have to drag them inside when she opened up the store. And one day she saw that the crates were already at the front entrance, you know, making it much, much easier to bring them inside. And it kept on happening. The following morning, day after day, the crates were at the front entrance. So one day she wanted to thank the drivers for being so kind to her and not just leaving it by the curbside like they always did. So she wanted to be there when the drivers showed up. And she shows up at the store and she sees the drivers show up and they just drop all the boxes right by the curbside like they had done before. And she couldn't believe it. She didn't understand what was going on. So she sat there wondering how did they transport themselves from that place to the door. And then Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach appears with a talis bag under his arm, and one by one he starts lifting the crates, bringing them to the door, because he knew that there's an almana that's running a grocery store, and nothing was beneath his dignity to do a kindness, to do a chesed with an almana. Rav Shlomo Zalman was that kind of person. You know, there's certain gedolim that every story you hear about them just resonates. You know, there's some gedolim that, like, their personalities were so strong in a certain area that not every story will resonate, and not every story can be told, even will be appreciated. But there are certain gedolim that, like, every story you hear about them resonates because they're laden with kindness and with goodness and a certain humility. And Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman are two such gedolim. Rav Pam would probably be in that category as well. You know, certain gedolim that are just known for their edelkeit, for their sweetness. Agav, someone just sent me yesterday on YouTube, they just released another video of Rav Moshe Feinstein, this time a 27-minute long video, where he's talking to a group of children that came to visit him, and then each of the children comes up and says Mishnayis Bal Peh to Rav Moshe. It makes you want to cry when you watch the greatness of that level. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Meir Goldwicht was a Ben Bias by Rav Shlomo Zalman, so Rav Meir Goldwicht told me that he tells a lot of people this maysa, that Rav Shlomo Zalman told him that when he got married, he was very, very poor, and he couldn't afford a gift for the yichud room for his wife. So the gift that he gave his wife in the yichud room was that he told her that if we ever disagree about anything, that she's right. And Rav Shlomo Zalman confided in Rav Goldwicht that really, when he was young, he was very easily irritated, and he thought that that would be a bad midah to have in marriage, to become easily irritated. So he dafka wanted to head that off right at the very beginning, and that's why he chose that as the gift. Because once he's promised it to his wife, once it came out of his mouth, then he knew he had to live up to it. So much so that the Rebbetzin died after they were married for 54 years, and at the levaya, Rav Shlomo Zalman said that the minig is that you ask mechila from the Nifter at Levaya. He said, but I have nothing to ask forgiveness for. He said, during the course of our marriage, 54 years of marriage, nothing ever occurred that would require either one of us to ask forgiveness from the other. That's a story of a gadol. That's a story of a gadol. That's like, you know, yeah, that's something that you can't even aspire to. It's just so on the level of malachim, on the level of the angels. This is not a normal person, not a normal human being. Now there are a number of correspondences, not as many as you would think, but there are a number of correspondences between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe. Clearly, they spoke on the telephone several times. That they even referred to that in their tshuvas about how they spoke on the telephone several times. But there, I was only able to find three places in Igros Moshe where Rav Moshe wrote to Rav Shlomo Zalman. One place, apparently, a number of bachrim in Eretz Yisrael wrote to Rav Moshe about a particular psak Rav Shlomo Zalman had about returning a cholent pot back onto the heat source on Shabbos when there are chicken bones that are going to get chicken bones that are going to get softer when it goes back onto the fire. And Rav Moshe responded to Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak, and then Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote a tshuva back explaining maybe Rav Moshe didn't know the metzias exactly of what kind of chicken bones they use in Eretz Yisrael, but a fascinating back and forth. So that appears in the Igros Moshe Arachayim Chelek Dalid Simin Ayin Zayin, and the response back is in Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simin Vav. A second tshuva that they corresponded on was Rav Moshe in Yerodei Chelek Gimel Simin Kuf Tes Vav has a tshuva to Rav Shlomo Zalman And this maybe should be 1 week's shiur about this particular topic, about the Perush HaTorah that they found of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. There were some scholars that discovered a manuscript of a Perush of the Torah that was written by none other than the great Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. There was only one little problem with the manuscript, and that is that it contained several bits of apikorsis, of like out-and-out apikorsis. Like it said things such as the psukim of Vayehi ben Soa Aron that are surrounded by the Nunim Hafuchim. The reason they're surrounded by the Nunim Hafuchim is because they were added in later by David HaMelech, and they were not originally part of the Chumash. Ooh, that's apikorsis. You're not allowed to say such a thing. So the Shaila is, what do you do with the book? What do you do with the manuscript? Someone worked very hard on the manuscript, so some of the Gedolim said, publish it as is. Others said, no, you can't do that. Publish, but take out the apikorsis and publish the rest of it. And Rav Moshe said, no, if there's apikorsis in some of it, you don't know that you're going to find every bit of apikorsis. Obviously, someone got to this manuscript and someone, inserted certain things in there. You cannot publish it at all. So on that topic, Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva to Rav Shlomo Zalman. It happens to be a fascinating give and take and a fascinating discussion. I believe Schneur Lyman has a lecture on that topic, which is also a fascinating lecture. And then a third place where Moshe directly relates to Rav Shlomo Zalman is in Yoredei Chelek Dalid, Simen Mem. And it's not written to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, but it's about the reason why we don't put a baby under general anesthesia during a bris, and why it is that we still do Metzitza, where Rav Shlomo Zalman said, because you just can't change anything. Everything has to be the way it was. Where Rav Moshe had a different mahalich as to why it is that we don't use general anesthesia at a bris. He didn't think that it was simply because you just can't change anything in terms of the way that we do a bris. Meanwhile, he just thought it was unhealthy for the baby. It simply isn't worth it to put a baby under general anesthesia when you're going to do a bris mila. But the nafkamina would be for an adult, that if you have a Russian Jew that's coming to Eretz Yisrael or something, and he's 40 years old and he needs a bris. Okay, so that's also a discussion between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. But that is not the discussion we have today. The halachic issue we're going to discuss today is what happens if a doctor or a Hatzalah member, or in Eretz Yisrael, I guess a Magen David Adom member, or I guess Hatzalah also, United Hatzalah, responds to a call, to an emergency call on Shabbos. Are they allowed to return? Are they allowed to drive back on Shabbos? So this is a major machlokas. I would say Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. It's really Rav Moshe and everybody else. But particularly Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote a tshuva point by point to address Rav Moshe's tshuva on this topic. Rav Moshe, a little bit of the background before we get to Rav Moshe's tshuva. There is a Mishnah Maseches Erevin on Daf Mem Dalid Amud Beis. Daf Yomi is about to start Erevin, Bez Hashem, in 1 week from tomorrow, I believe. So Mishnah Maseches Erevin that we'll get to in a month and a half. Misha Yatzo Birushus. If a person went out on Shabbos to respond to something that they needed to go for, and Rashi explains, like for Eidus HaChodesh, they needed to be made about the new moon. Ola Hatzil Menagaya, so there was some sort of attack that they had to defend their fellow Jews from. Umina Nohar, O Chachama Habalelid, or maybe it's a midwife that went to be Miyalid, that went to help a woman deliver a baby. And then they're told, after they arrive, Nasamaisa, don't worry, you're not needed anymore, it's already been taken care of. They still get to go Alpayim Amal Lekol Ruach. They get a Tchum Shabbos of 2,000 Amos from where they are, even though they've already left their Tchum Shabbos. So you would think they should only be allowed to go within Dalet Amos, because once you leave your Tchum Shabbos and you discover that you've gone beyond your Tchum Shabbos, you're normally only allowed to go Dalet Amos. But no, since they went for something that they were allowed to go for, they get 2,000 Amos. And then it says, that whoever goes out to save someone whose life is in danger, you can go all the way back. You can go to where you were originally. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. What just happened over here? It seems like a stira from one line to the next. The Mishnah in the Erevin Halacha, and this relates to Maseches Rosh Hashanah also, but Eidus HaChodesh, it seems like an obvious stira. Now, on the one hand, we say that if you went on a rescue mission, okay, you can go within 2,000 Amos, so we are the Isser Derabanan of Tchum Shabbos, we're willing to relax since you went out for a good purpose. Yet the other Mishnah says, go back, you can go all the way home. Apparently, you're allowed to go way further than 2,000 Amos. So the Gemara gives two answers to that stira. Answer number one is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. that when the Mishnah in Erevin allows going back to where you began, that second Mishnah, it's teaching us that only when a soldier comes back from his mission, he can carry his weapon with him. But it doesn't mean that he's allowed to go more than 2,000 amos. No, he's still only allowed to go 2,000 amos, but he can bring his weapon with him. And the reason we allow him to bring his weapon with him is because of a terrible story that happened. The Braisa tells us that at first it used to be that if they had a war to wage on Shabbos, the soldiers would put their weapons in the house that's closest to the town wall after the battle was over. But one time, the enemies realized what the soldiers were doing, that after the battle was over, they went and they put their weapons only in a house that was closest to the wall of the city. And they realized, wow, that makes the Jewish people very, very vulnerable to further attack, because they don't have easy access to their weapons. All their weapons are in this one house that's closest to the walls of the city. So they took advantage and they attacked. And as a result of that, the Jewish soldiers all rushed into the house that was close to the wall of the city to get their weapons, and caused a lot of chaos and confusion, and they trampled all over each other, and they ended up killing more of each other than the enemy ever could have killed in the first place. So the Rabbanim made a gezeira that the soldiers are allowed to, or a takana, that the soldiers are allowed to go all the way back with their weapons, that they're permitted to return with their weapons. That's answer number one, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, how to resolve the stira. Answer number two, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says that no, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah about having 2,000 amos is talking about a time where there's a very strong Jewish presence, and the 2,000 amos was enough. That's all you needed. You were safe when you were within 2,000 amos. You didn't need more than that. But the Mishnah in Erevin about going Chozrin L'Makoman, about going all the way back, that's if there was danger. If you didn't return home, you'd be very vulnerable to attack. So because it's Sakana, that's why you're allowed to go all the way home. And the Rush quotes the Maram Rutenberg, who says that the Halacha follows both of these Terutzim in the Gemara. And that seems to appear in Shulchan Aruch as well. The Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos, early in Hilchas Shabbos, tells us that Jews who went out to war on Shabbos to help others out are allowed to return to where they to where they started, and they can carry their weapons. Kidei shelo lahachshilan la'aslavo, so as not to cause danger in the future. On the other hand, later in Hilchas Shabbos, the Rambam writes that people who go to save Jewish people and they're attacked or their lives are threatened are allowed to return with their weapons to where they started, only if the Jewish presence is weak and the Jewish soldiers might be subject to further attack and it's going to be a sakana. And similarly, Shulchan Aruch in Simin Shin Chaf Tes, Si'if Tes, writes, Kalayotzim Lahatzil, if they went out to save people, they can go back with their weapons to where they started. The Mishnah Berurah over there in Sifkat and Chaf writes that if we didn't allow it, then they may not go out to save people in the future. They may not want to go in the first place if we leave them in a vulnerable and dangerous position. But later in Simin Tav Zayin in Sif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch writes, that if you went out for a mission and you're not in danger, your life is not in danger, so then you get 2,000 amos. If you're afraid for your life, okay, then you're allowed to go back. So where does this leave us? If you have just the basic sugya, the basic reading of the sugya, it sounds very, very much that you're only allowed to travel all the way home in violation of Shabbos if it's dangerous to stay where you are. If it's not dangerous to stay where you are, it's just that we're afraid you're not going to be so eager next time to go out if we don't loosen the restriction a little, so then we'll give you 2,000 amos. But we're not going to let you go all the way home if it's not an issue of danger. That is the pashtus of the sugya. Important to note that Tosfos relates this sugya, and Mishnah Berurah quotes it, to Hitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan, that sometimes Chazal allow us to complete something because of its beginning, meaning that if we don't allow you to finish something, then we're afraid you're not going to do the great mitzvah of beginning that very thing. The Gemara in Beit Zadafir Aleph discusses this. The Gemara talks about three cases that Chazal specifically allowed work to be completed in Yom Tov, even though though only the beginning of that work was really needed for Yantav, because Chazal thought that if we don't allow you to finish it, then you're not going to do what's necessary for Yantav. So that's what Tosos and the Rashba apply over here, that if you went to save other people and you were not allowed to return home, there's a concern that you might not go out in the first place. And that's what Rav Moshe really picks up on. But before we get to Rav Moshe even, Rav Si Pesach Frank, who we discussed last week in Tshuvas Har Tzvi or Chaim Chelek Beis, Simen Yud, has a very, very strong and strict mahalich over here, which really, I mean, sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch. The case was, there was a doctor who lived in Pardes Chana and made a trip to Chadera to respond to an emergency and wanted to know if he's allowed to drive home and turn off the engine when he gets home on Shabbos. And Rav Pesach Frank said, absolutely not. And not only that, you're not even allowed to just turn off the engine, even though turning off the engine is a mlach shein tzrich legufa. So it's only an iser drabanan, it's mechabe midrabanan. You're not even allowed to do that. And Rav Pesach Frank says, because after all, look at the sugya. If you go on a rescue mission, there are certain things Chazal allowed, namely that you get 2,000 amos, a new tchum Shabbos. That's it. They don't allow you to violate, actively violate, not isum derabana, not isum daraisa. So, okay, when you go to Chadera to on that mission, so you get the whole Tchum Shabbos of Chadera, but it doesn't mean that you can actually get into a car or even shut off a car. That you can only do exactly what Chazal allowed. Rav Moshe is the opposite extreme. Rav Moshe and Orach Chaim Chelek Dalid Simin Pei was asked by Hatzalah, and this remains the policy, I think, of most Hatzalahs. I don't know if it's every Hatzalah in America, but of most branches of Hatzalah, Rav Moshe was asked by Hatzalah if Hatzalah members can come back from responding to an emergency on Shabbos. And he emphasizes that point of Tosos. Hitiru sofa mishum tchilasan. That sometimes we allow things because we're afraid that if we do not allow them, you're not gonna set the process in motion. And therefore, if Hatzalah members can't come home, then next time they might not go, and somebody might die. And the Gemara spoke about soldiers, but it's lav dafka soldiers. Any life saving mission, Hatzalah is also a life saving mission. And Moshe points out, you know, the Gemara doesn't only talk about Hatzalah and Agayus, it doesn't only talk about soldiers, it also talks about Hatzalah min hanahar, a chachama, haba'aliyale, the midwife that comes to help a woman in childbirth. There's no svara of sakana, right? The midwife is not in danger as soon as the baby is born, and yet we still allow them to come to return. So says Rav Moshe, you see that the concern of a michshal la'asulavo, that at some future time it's going to be a stumbling block, allows us to violate the Yisurim in terms of returning. And he uses that to answer a stira in the Rambam, that the Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Shabbos writes that the soldiers can go with the weapons. Says Rav Moshe, you know, there's a big difference between going on a mission where it's a short-term period of time, where the rescuers assume that they'll be out for a bit and then they'll be able to return on Shabbos. So in such a case, we're really concerned that they might not go out next time. But the Rambam later on in Hilchos Shabbos says they can go wherever they were afraid for their safety, and otherwise they can't go beyond 2,000 amos. That's talking about a long-term mission, where they know it's going to take them through the end of Shabbos, which clearly indicates that they're willing to sacrifice their entire Shabbos at the outset. And therefore, Hatzalah members are not on a long-term mission. They go and they expect to be back. They expect to be back sometimes within the same meal, within the same tefillah, so that they can return. That's the chilek that Rav Moshe makes. Rav Moshe then tries to explain how the Gemara works out according to his approach, specifically both Rav Yudah Merav, who said that they can only return 2,000 amos but can bring weapons, and Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, who said that they can return fully when they're in danger. It's a difficult read. Rav Asher Weiss in the Tshuva and Chelek Beis of Minchas Asher, Simin Mem Ozvav, describes Rav Moshe's explanation of the Gemara as a dochak Rav, as a very forced explanation. Other poskim were very impressed with this tshuva of Rav Moshe. Rav Mordechai Halpern in Sefer Asya, Chelek Dalet, page 71, writes that Echad min ha-poskim ha-mefursamim, one of the famous poskim, Amar li balpe achrei ra'oso, ma'ashakasav ha-gayin Rav Moshe Feinstein, after he saw what Rav Moshe wrote, that even though he used to asur this, now he's mesupak, maybe he should change his mind and say that it's mutter. I mean, it was such a tour de force with Moshe's creativity in explaining the Gemara and all the Rishonim according to his Mahalik. Nevertheless, Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Chashlomo Chelik Aleph Simchas directly addresses Rav Moshe's tshuva point by point in detail. He specifically asked Rav Moshe permission to publicize this tshuva because he had such great reverence and respect for Rav Moshe that he would not want to publish a tshuva that was against what Rav Moshe said without first asking permission. And of course, kachi darka shel Torah, Rav Moshe of course, gave him permission to publicize this tshuva. And Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, clearly, in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says that you can only return all the way if you're afraid for your safety. A doctor that goes to the hospital could just go to his office, he can go to the waiting room, he's safe. The Gemara also never said that somebody would refuse to save lives because they want to be with their family and they're afraid of missing a Shabbos meal with their family, and therefore there's a legitimate concern that they might not save lives next time. Can't be, he says. So he agrees with Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, but Rav Shlomo Zalman is a little more makel. He allows to have a non-Jew drive you home, whereas Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank only allows you 2,000 amos. That's all he was willing to be makel on. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, from there you see that we allow Yisurim to Rabbi in these circumstances. So Amir la'akum is Nisa Drabanan. So we would allow Amir la'akum. In fact, the entire tshuva of Moshe, Zalman points out, was based on Tosos and the Rashba, who included the case of the Chachama Haba'ali Aleid with the Hatzalos in the Sefer of the Mishnah that says the Chozrum L'Makoman. But Rav Moshe himself writes that Chacham HaBa'al Yaleid does not have the heter of Sofan Mishum Tchilasan, because it's a Tzalanim Shechas. It could be a long time when you're a midwife. So it must be that Tosas and the Rashba were only going on the Resha of the Mishnah, that they were misakin by Eidus HaChodesh, that you get 2,000 amos, but not that you're allowed to go all the way back, and that we allow Chil Shabbos because of Yitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan. Meaning, essentially, Rosh Hashanah says, the Rishonim that you're relying on, that talk about Yitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan, are not using that to explain why you're allowed to do Yisurim Daraisa. They're using that to explain why instead of 4 amos, you get 2,000 amos when you're not afraid for your life. 2,000 amos is Nisut Rabbanan. That's where we apply. That's where these Rishonim apply. Hitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan. And then finally, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, we never find that the Gemara allows Melachos Daoraisa based on a chashash that you might not be interested in Atzalas Nefashos. Someone's life is at risk. What? We're afraid you're not going to want to help save that person's life? And because of that, we're going to allow Melachos Daraisa? Show me in Shas where it says that, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. And he writes, Kameduma shelo nizkar b'shas ha-chashash she-yavar adam alo samar al-dam re'echa v'yisrash v'me atzalas nefashos. That we don't find anywhere in Shas that one is going to violate samar al-dam re'echa and be misrashal and be lazy about atzalas nefashos because he wants to spend time with his family or whatever. And says Rav Shlomo Zalman, and to what end? If we were to apply this broadly, we should allow a doctor to turn on the lights when he's picking out his clothing in the morning on Shabbos. Why? Because if he has clothing that's a little messy, that has a stain on it or something, it's going to be embarrassing to go out like that. So if he has to respond to a life-saving mission, he may hesitate and not go on the life-saving mission because the Nebuchadnezzar has a stain on his clothing. So every doctor should be allowed to turn on the lights in the morning to pick out their clothing. He says, well, for example, we should allow a doctor to eat on Yom Kippur because he may be a little bit weakened by the fast, and if he has to respond, it may take some of his kochos out of him, and then he may not respond to an emergency because meaning if you take this logic, it can go to really ridiculous degrees. That's where Shlomo Zalman was very much in disagreement with Rav Moshe about the possibility of returning by driving a car from a life-saving mission, but more makel than Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and that Rav Shlomo Zalman at least allowed that a non-Jew can drive the car, and I believe that is the standard practice for first responders in Eretz Yisrael, that they have a non-Jew and an Arab driver who will drive them back rather than rely on Jews doing all of the driving. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll, I don't know yet exactly what we'll do. Maybe we'll do Rav Moshe and Rav Meisha Sternbach. We'll see. We'll try to pick a good topic for next week. Everyone enjoy Rabbi Rothwax's shir and have a wonderful week.